there are moments where I feel myself doubting my approach or my decisions. It's like in little things sometimes. Could be my response in a meeting. It could be my decision to say no to some social thing that we're going to or whatever. Like, I don't know why after I make a decision, I continue to think about it. Or after I make a statement, I continue to think about that. I mean, I think that that's led to a lot of positives in my life because it's a way of reflecting. But I want to be better. I want to improve on my ability. I think you do this really well, is like, you go and you don't look back. I go and I look back. You know what I mean? So I want to be better about being like, whatever decision I make in this moment, big or small, it is this decision I'm making, and I'm going to make the best of whatever comes from that.
Welcome back to the Thrive on Life podcast.
We're CJ and Aaron Finley, lifelong best friends turned husband and wife that started a brand to inspire others to make the most out of the one life we all get to live.
We are on a mission to help others in the pursuit of thriving in all areas of life through community, connection, and the sharing of knowledge.
This series of the podcast with us as your hosts will feature unfiltered conversations on topics of life, marriage, parenthood, health, wellness, and what we consider
the art of thriving.
Let's dive in.
What is up, Thrive Fam? CJ Finley here again with another episode of the Thrive My Life podcast with my wife, Aaron Finley, here in the building. It's Thrive Thursday, about 8:45 at night, and we are going to have a conversation around year-end review of 2023 and the things that we are eyeing up for 2024. So to kick it off, I wanted to reflect on what are some areas in your life that you think you did really well this year? What are some things that you think you can improve upon?
You're really going right into it. I thought we would have like a warm up, like, how are you doing?
And then we'll do the same thing that I did with my buddy Scott Simmons, a little SWOT analysis. Strengths, weaknesses.
Wait, so this is all for me?
Opportunities, not on you. Threats.
Or do I get you to start evaluate first, you?
And then we'll go to me.
Are you evaluating me or am I evaluating me?
No, it's you go start with your, we always start with the good. The stuff you did
but
well.
I'm telling, you're not saying what I did well, I am.
No, I'm having you start on yourself.
Okay,
and then
yeah.
I will chime
in.
I'm
trying to understand the assignment here.
Yeah.
Assignment. I'm assessing what I did well this year. Is that the first part of this task?
Are you going to start?
I'm clarifying if that's the right thing
you're
exactly
looking
for. That's
exactly what I said, so
all
come
right.
on.
All right, well, I think it would be interesting if you told me what I did well, but I can do a self-reflection. This year has been probably the fastest year of my life. That sounds cliche to say, but it's the year I became a mom. And I think I was at a work dinner last night, and the question that they asked me at the table was, what's the number one thing you didn't realize you would experience or feel after having a baby? And I feel like they thought my answer was going to be like something like, oh, I didn't think about changing diapers or like just something like that. But for me, my answer was really that one, I wasn't expecting it to be as enjoyable as it's been. And two, I don't think I ever realized how fast time actually does fly by. And everyone will tell you that when you're expecting a baby or once you're a parent, but I don't think you can really realize it until you're in it yourself. Because there's so much change happening on a day-to-day basis with our son that I look back to 3 months ago and not much has changed with you and I, but so much has changed with him. And it's just like, wow, where did this time go? So I think that is the majority of my year, is really wrapping myself up in this new identity as a mother, learning how to navigate that as I've returned back to working full time. And my career is like a lot sometimes. It's intense. And navigating that, so I'm proud of myself. That's one thing that you asked what I think I did well. And I think that's one area, is having self-compassion and giving myself grace.
I can't be it. What else?
Yeah, those are like two big things because they apply to a lot of areas of my life. Like self-compassion for I'm new to this whole motherhood thing. I'm balancing a million different priorities. And as somebody that holds myself to really high standards, I don't think I've lowered the bar or lowered my standards. I've just given myself more grace in how I arrive there. Like, for example, returning back to fitness. You know, fitness is a huge part of myself, I guess I'll say. Like, it's a release for me. It's a passion. And returning to running has been super humbling. And I think I want to believe that the more you put in, the more effort and work you put in, the results follow. But I've seen that's not really how it works all the time. And there's a lesson in that. And more doesn't have to be actually more quantity. It could look different. And I think we're both learning that. So to summarize, it's the self-compassion I've given myself, the ability to kind of stay afloat in a strong way in many different areas of motherhood, work life, marriage, family, keeping my passions alive, and finding the lessons in the struggles.
So I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Improvements to be made in 20. I'm looking at the whiteboard. Improvements to be made in 2024 is. So I was trying to get you to like go deeper. Like you got a raise at work. How? You say that you have self-compassion. How? Like, when you're telling these stories, give an example. Like talk. In the essence of what you truly mean.
I think part of me answering that way is because my job is, I'm laughing because like part of what I do at work is summarizing really, you know, complex messaging into like one-liners and like broad statements. And so I think I just have a habit of doing that even with myself. What I feel I shouldn't go into all these details because like, I'm so used
what
to
you
like
did
reducing
well
the clutter.
Was like you freaking gave birth. It took two days and then you took 6 weeks off from training and then started running again and trained yourself to run again. Like that's what I mean. Like, go through. Like, what
did
you do well?
This is why it'd be
like,
cool really, if you did the self-assessment.
Really,
but
think
it's interesting
about it.
That I don't naturally go to those things as my achievements. You know, isn't that kind of interesting? Like, you see that in me, but I—that's not what my mind.
Yeah, but I
jumps
can see
to.
It in myself too. I think it is funny that you just have. I think you're too humble. That's just what it comes down to.
I think for me, it's just, those are huge, huge achievements. Sure. If we're talking achievements, I do consider giving birth like a big milestone.
But it's not.
But I was more so reflecting on like how I've handled everything after that point, you know?
Yeah. But when I asked the question of like, what did you do well? It's write a bullet list. Yeah, like in terms of resilience.
I don't think there's anything wrong with my answer. I'm sorry it's not in the format you're looking for, but I still stand by.
Okay, how did you show yourself self-compassion?
I told you plenty of examples. You weren't listening because I was watching you and you were doing something else while I was talking.
That's not the truth.
I definitely said it if you want to rewind and listen later. Move on to the next question.
What could you improve upon?
Having more conviction in a lot of things. I think feeling more confident.
Where was a case where you didn't have conviction?
I don't have a very specific example, but I know that there are moments where I feel myself doubting my approach or my decisions. It's like in little things sometimes. Could be my response in a meeting. It could be my decision to say no to some social thing that we're going to or whatever. Like, I don't know why after I make a decision, I continue to think about it. Or after I make a statement, I continue to think about that. I mean, I think that that's led to a lot of positives in my life because it's a way of reflecting. But I want to be better. I want to improve on my ability. I think you do this really well, is like you go and you don't look back. I go and I look back. You know what I mean? So I want to be better about being like, whatever decision I make in this moment, big or small, it is this decision I'm making and I'm going to make the best of whatever comes from that. And I know that mentally I can wrap my head around that and that is what I do, but I still spend energy and time like in some ways doubting that decision and in some ways thinking about scenarios that could result from it rather than just going.
Do you or do you not believe that's just a form of control?
It could be, for sure.
Of trying to control things.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that has to do with I want the best possible outcomes in every situation, and I do understand that there's a lot out of my control. But yes, I think part of the hesitation is, I was just in a training session 2 weeks ago, and there was this whole self-awareness analysis, and my results came back where basically this is front and center of my results, where I contemplate a lot. I'm not like I'm deliberate, but I spend time wanting to figure out what is right. And that comes at a cost, right? In some cases, that's a good trait. It can be helpful. But I think as I think about my life and where I want to go and the traits that I want to continue to harvest moving forward, I need to be more confident in any decision I make and just go right or wrong.
Why do you care about being right?
Because dealing with the consequences of being wrong are things is something that causes me
in what stress. World do you live in where you would make a quote unquote a wrong decision? A wrong decision is choosing to murder somebody or like,
yeah, I don't necessarily mean right versus wrong in that way. I'm speaking more to wanting to be thorough with my approach to everything instead of like shooting from the hip, like I see you do a lot of times.
But what is the point?
That's because what I'm trying to get. I want to make sure that it's well thought out.
There is no right or there is like no wrong. And I have like a path
if that is, things go off the
what path. You're clearly articulating is you're just trying to control everything. Okay. The reason that I can shoot from the hip because I don't care about the outcome.
Why?
I care about the action.
Why don't you care about the outcome?
The action is what matters.
But isn't the action leading to the outcome?
Yes. Like when I say I don't care about the outcome, it's like when the outcome gets to me, I'll deal with it. I'm not afraid of the outcome. So I'm not trying to control every little thing because I know deep down, like there's only certain things I can control, which is my actions, my habits.
So what do you think leads to you having the ability to take action so quickly? It's just that what you're saying that you don't care.
There's 6 inches in front of our face that we can deal with in any given moment. Like that's all I can handle in reality. What I do today affects tomorrow. What I did yesterday affected today, but I can't go back and do anything about yesterday. And I can't do anything about tomorrow outside of today. So if I make zero decisions today because I'm contemplating all the time, my tomorrow is not going to be better.
But do you even think about this? Like, I think about this. I think about decisions a lot. I think that you act in such a way that you're not even realizing that you're making decisions sometimes.
No, I think about decisions more than you think about decisions. Because I'm able to take more action, so I'm able to have more decisions every single day. If you're sitting there thinking about one decision, you don't get as many decisions as I get. So you have to take action to then get to the next decision.
Do you have like a mental framework that helps you take
not giving a fuck? That is the mental framework. That's what I'm trying to get to you, is like there's no world that you live in where there's a wrong. Like when you live the life that we do, it's like, yeah, you're gonna have mistakes, but there's no wrong. And when you take away like black, red, red, blue, yes, no, and you just say, I'm going to make an informed decision quickly that aligns with my heart, my gut, and my mind, and just go. Yeah. Any decision that I make, I can always reverse and change course because I know that I'm not going to make a really stupid decision. A lot of people don't have that option because they're not as self-aware like you're talking about. They don't reflect. But once you get to a certain point in your life where you've read enough books, you've gone to school enough, you have enough experience, it's less about right and wrong and more about just finding peace. Like, peace in motion is happiness. And happiness for me is predicated on making quick decisions, not being up in my head and pondering all these different scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I've noticed in you that I would like to start.
But it doesn't mean that I'm not thinking about the decisions I have made or the decisions I have to make.
Yeah, I
think
know.
About them all the time.
I mean, we have conversations about decisions
but I think
you want to make.
I think something to dial into is like, I think the difference between us is like, I don't hold them as, they're not as heavy. Like if you were to picture
they
a scale.
You don't allow them to cause you anxiety.
Yeah. Because there's no right or wrong and there's nothing, there's no, like, we've been fortunate enough. I think I also have the perspective of like, no one's coming to me with really bad news, which is going to come. That's why I do hard things, because I know bad news is going to come and I'm going to have to make hard decisions.
Yeah. I guess one decision Harder I decisions. Could think about that we've talked about recently relating to your life is, you just talked about this the other day, of what your content stands for, I guess, is what I would say. Or like what your pillars are. You talk about how you could go one direction where you focus in on one subset of who you are, or you could continue to showcase more of your whole self and take a slower approach to the growth that you're looking for. Like, to me, that's a big decision. Seems like it. How are you thinking through that?
Action, just like I always do.
Yeah.
Like, what did I do today? Like, did a podcast, chopped up content, took some action in the way that I feel my gut is telling me to go. And then behind closed doors doing the same thing. And then we're recording again right here. I think if I were to reflect back on my year, right? And we're talking like, what did I do well and what improvements I could make? What I did really well was just slowing down all areas of my business to shift my energy towards building a really solid foundation with Aiden. Like, little dude,
I agree.
Is my best
you
friend.
You did that really well.
And I will never regret that. So I have that solid foundation with him. And as he's going to be going to daycare, so we're going to be spending less time throughout the day together, we already have that foundation. So when he starts talking, like, I'm already daddy, and like, there's going to be that solid foundation. He innately gets loving from you, from like, literally you keep him alive every single day. And I wanted to make it a point where like, he knows that I'm here and I'm his safety. And the cost of that was not doing as many podcasts, not doing things that I really feel like are my strengths, my unique strengths, and not having as many people over here. not taking as many meetings, not being at as many community events as I could potentially be at during the week. So certain things I think were eating at me on the inside a little bit. And those were harder decisions. That weighed on me more than I'd say a lot of things have weighed on me in the past, but I still did a pretty good job with that. So I'm proud of myself. I think I did that well.
I feel like I'm really proud of you too. And I feel like the fact that you've just even had that awareness to know that that's what you're doing and being intentional about doing that. Like, I just think that's something that not a lot of people would do or think about, because you feel kind of goes to this feeling of what you should be doing. But I feel like you've done a really good job of kind of flipping that narrative as the male too, to do what you did.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm the only guy around me that's doing this right now. I mean, there's a few that are on deck, but I also thought about what type of leader do I want to be to other men? And that's, I can't preach what I don't practice. And one of the things that I wanted to preach is work's always going to be there.
Yeah. And as a community leader that you are, you could have been at those community events, but I think it speaks more volumes if you show up to those community events now, having the experience you have, like doing what you just said, being the father that you would want to be or want to have.
Yeah. And practically what this looks like for people out there. So, I mean, I was having 2 guests a week on the show. I was writing every single morning and I had 3 newsletters going out a week. I've stopped my newsletter. I was blogging, and then consulting and coaching and working with brands. So there was a lot going on in my life and I had to look in the mirror and ask myself, like, what is sustainable and what is the best route for me to build that foundation? And one of the things when you have a child and they get up in the morning, they're either going to see you present with them or they're going to see you on your phone or on your laptop or different things. And you don't want to build that habit of them setting the expectation that you're kind of a zombie in the morning. So I wanted to flip my agenda every day to where Aiden is priority number one in the morning. And I think it paid off because, again, we're going to be sending him to daycare. So the mornings are going to be a little bit shorter and he's going to be playing with other kids and learning in that way. And I'm going to start investing my time back into my play and the things that I love. And it goes so fast. That's why, like, the second time around, and for Blessed with a second and potentially a third, it's such an easy decision for me to make because it does go so fast. And something that I thought about, this is you talk about decisions and how the frameworks that I think about. I'm like, before I know it, he's going to be 4 or 5 years old and he's going to be gone 30 hours a week. Like, if he's in school, 30 to 40 hours a week. And that's the time where, if I can't be as successful as I want to be operating when my kids are being educated, then I don't deserve success. Then I'm not focused enough. And I thought about that. I don't need more. I think a lot of people work the 50, the 60, the 70, the 80 hours to feel successful. And I've broken that.
Yeah.
I don't need that to feel success. And if I can't achieve that, that's on me. But I'm willing to do the work in those hours and be hard on myself to make sure that's the case. But when they're first born, they're not in school. Like, they're dependent on you. And I wanted to be dependent on. Like, that's another thing that just, like, it feels good to have a little human being depend on you. And every day you're just building a better relationship with that little human being. So
yeah, I like what you said there about the time spent on work, because I've been thinking about that a lot when I'm thinking about my next steps in my career. It's like, if I don't have the ability to spend time in the morning and at least time in the evening with my family and for myself, I don't have the right job. Like, because I know that my priorities are around health, family, self-development. Like, if I don't have time for those things, what is the point?
Yeah, just get a different job.
Yeah, that would be...
Yep, and that's advice for anybody else out there. And the thing for me that is tough is, like, my job is... I flipped it into these things are my first baby was what I do. And I'm so, I mean, we're doing it at 9:09 at night, and I could go for another 2 hours. Like, I absolutely love this, and it's tough to pull away from it. And for anybody else out there, I think what you have to do, and Aaron and I talk about this a lot, is you have to understand that there's seasons to life, and that you can put the toy back in the box and it's not going anywhere. That was also something I thought about. I was like, I've worked my ass off for 3 years at this. My skill set's not going anywhere. I'm only going to get better. If I take a little bit of time off, it's not that big a deal. So I think the other things that I did well was, and you've noted this, is a bit strengthened relationships mm-hmm. with other men, being more intentional with reaching out to people I haven't talked to in a while. Family as well. I think I did that really well this year. Believe it or not, my business, I made the most money this year, even though I pulled back in a lot of different areas. I think the intentionality of that is what helped. The places that I could do better...
This isn't fair. You're looking at your whiteboard where you already did this analysis.
No. I'm going to change the answers, because Scott and I's conversations was really around, like, content and where I could do better there. And I don't want to just make this about content.
Yeah, this is like, how could you be a better CJ?
Yeah. I think for me, like, deep down, I know that this year, it kind of reminds me of, we just did High Rocks and I looked at you and I was like, you left some in the tank. I left a little bit in the tank this year in a few different ways. And
what ways?
I don't want to do that again next year. I think a lot of it had to do with feeling out being a father, like, how much energy is it going to take? Mm-hmm. But.
So what ways did you feel?
I feel like with coaching, like, I could have started, like, a group or something. I could have done more educational videos for sure, which I'm going to do in 2024. I think fitness wise, even though I'm in the best shape of my life, strongest, able to endure, I just did a 50K. I know deep down that I still had about 10% more to give. I think I turned it on here. And in the last, I turned it on in, like, midsummer, and then I kind of, like, got lackadaisical again, and then I turned it on again here at the end of the year. And feeling that personally, I never let myself down really, but it's more so, okay, in next year, that switch needs to turn on more frequently. I think when it comes to our relationship, I could have done a better job of understanding the free time that you want. I think we do a wonderful job of communicating that to each other, but me almost taking the lead a little bit of, like, last night is a good example. Like, you had the work dinner, but that was kind of forced. Like, I took care of Aiden, and it's not a problem. I love doing it, and I can do it, and every other man out there should be doing it. but it should have been more like, hey, I want you to go out with a friend, like, and me leading in that way. Because that's what I do well. So that's one of my strengths.
But you also do that for yourself, and you're right. I don't think that's probably an area I could do.
You don't do it well for yourself. So I should have seen that. This is just me really just reflecting. It's your blind spot, and I should have seen it. And what makes me think about it is you're talking about going to get your nails done and stuff like that. So that's where I'm just like, I could have poked you a little. I'm really good at poking you to like, hey, you need to go do this work because you're kind of anxious, or you need to go do this run because I want you to show up as a better you, whatever. I'm good at that. I'm a coach. I can sense it. But when it comes to like the personal stuff, I could have done better for you.
That is one thing. Yeah, I think I, before having Aiden and then like early on, I made a point to keep up with self-care and stuff. But I think I've done that well in terms of like my fitness, but not even that. Cause like I really enjoy taking classes and stuff. And I just, anytime I've gone to sign up, I've canceled it. Or anytime I've like said to you, I think I'm gonna actually get a pedicure or something, and then I change my mind. And that the reason why I'm changing my mind is because I'm like, this guilt comes over me. And I know that's not rational. Like it's not like I'm doing this constantly, but I'm just like, well, my heart really just wants to stay here and be with you guys. And
it's not
like,
wrong though. Like going back to like right or wrong.
It's not,
like,
it's not that I shouldn't do that, but it is a good point for me to reflect and be like, all right, well, I don't have to do the things that I was going to do, but there has to be time when I am doing something for me, whether it's like girls' night or something else, something out of the house that's not with you guys, I think would be beneficial.
I think a word that, because a lot of people use themes in New Year's, something for you to think about is just like being spontaneous. I think especially because we're lining up the next years to be a family, a larger family, and have more children. Leaning into spontaneity, however you say it.
Spontaneity, yeah.
Is going to be beneficial for you. Again, it goes back to the control, that mindset. It's, I think you struggle in the moment to put yourself, the friction to get to that place of like, oh, like going to this dinner or going to this meetup, the friction of that causes you to say no, but you have to just believe in being spontaneous and then believe in serendipity that the thing that you're going to is going to add value to that time at home.
Right.
Yep. And again, I'm talking about once in a while. Doesn't that like naturally you're introverted and you get energy by staying here, mm-hmm. which is great. But there are times where you could be more spontaneous and it's going to add value to every moment in your life.
Right.
I think the reason I'm leaning on that word is that's also how I make decisions quickly. I feel like I have a great ability to, like, I love systems. So I've created a system in my mind of helping me make decisions very quickly. Whether it's...
Yeah, I asked you that and you didn't say...
I'm just like, again, doing these things, like when you're put on the spot, you start talking and you start, I keep those threads in my head. But the system that I have is just like, let's say you're trying to work with a new client. Like the system in my mind is like principles. I go to certain principles of working with somebody else. What principles are they showing me or not showing me? Quick decision on that. Do I want to go? You mentioned fitness classes, like creating categories in my mind of what should I be saying yes or no to before I even get to that decision. But for you, I think it's the opposite. I think you should be less controlling and just say, you know what? Fuck it. Like getting my nails done, bring me joy, put it on the calendar, go do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a friend asks you to go do something, say yes. And then, no, I got you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, because you do that for fucking work.
Yeah.
Like, I got a 7 a.m. call tomorrow. Like, you, like, why can't you do that for yourself?
I don't know. I'm getting better. You saw me running in the morning.
Yeah, but it's fitness. It goes back to, I've seen you do that since we were freaking teenagers.
So what's your point about that?
That isn't spontaneous. Like, okay, you or me going to the gym or going on a run is not spontaneous.
I was just saying, I feel I did a good job of, like you say, I move everything around in my personal life to cater to potential work meetings sometimes. Why do I not do that the other way around?
Like, here's a great example. What were you complaining about the other day on your leg?
My leg?
Yeah, one of your legs was aching you or something.
I had a little bit of tightness in my calf.
Okay.
Instead of my Achilles. So
instead of telling me, okay, I have this tightness in my Achilles, what is something spontaneous you could do to help the tightness in your leg?
Spontaneous?
Yeah, like spontaneous is like, you know what? I'm going to book a massage at this random place that I've never been just to try it out.
Yeah, I would love to do that. When am I going to do that? See the problem?
That's not a problem. You act like you have zero time. You do.
Okay.
You could literally go right after work.
Okay.
Yes or no?
Only if you're available to watch Aiden, and then I'll be like feeling bad that I didn't see him that day.
So I've been here at 4 p.m. mostly every day.
Oh my goodness.
But we're literally live. We're walking through live of like what your issue actually is.
And I'm walking you through what goes through my mind, which is I can't do that. Like, I don't want to be at that place more than I want to be home with you and my son. So to me, that outweighs the spontaneity that you're saying I need.
Yes and no. Because if that would make you a better you for the next 20 years for our son, you need to do it every once in a while. Okay. Yes or no?
Sure. I guess we have to define.
Yes or no.
I guess we have to define what it is. I don't think everything goes in that category, but some things maybe.
What do you mean?
Like, you use the example of getting a massage or going to a chiropractor or whatever for the tightness in my leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying, does that qualify? We're getting way too in the weeds with this specific example.
No, it doesn't, because the weeds is what actually helps. Being vague, like, literally, I was talking about this on the podcast with Matt earlier. He helps people run, like he's a coach, right? Mm-hmm. Some people will come to him and they'll ask their goal and they'll be like, yeah, I just want to run better. Like, what the fuck does he do with that? Versus if people are like, I want to do this exact race. It's a lot easier for him to coach them because it's like, this is the distance of the race. This is what the weather's going to be like. Clarity helps you be more at peace. Ambiguity leads to anxiety. That's another thing I've seen. I think you can work on is just like, you're really good at setting like career or I want to run this race. But in your personal life, you don't weigh those joyful things as much, and you need to. They are just as important for the long term of your life. Especially like for me, I want you to do those things because what runs in your family?
Heart disease.
Okay. What does that really stem from?
Stress.
Stress. What de-stresses you? What are some things that de-stress you?
A lot of things. For me, it's exercise, nature.
No. What only de-stresses you, not puts a stressor on you?
Relaxing.
Okay. What else?
A lot of other things.
Name some.
For me, it's walking or going outside or being in nature, going to the beach, being around the ocean. For me, it's a lot of little things that de-stress me.
Great. What else?
Why do you need me to rattle it off?
Literally talking, because we're talking about what could you improve in 2024. When you create a list and we literally bullet out this podcast in the transcript, it's going to show you what you need to do more of in 2024.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to keep rattling off all the things? Yeah, keep going. Reading, writing, going in the sauna, spending time with people that I enjoy their company, podcasting with you, being creative, music.
So when you talk about all of those things that you just had, how much percentage of time did you actually put into those in 2023? Versus what increase should you have going into 2024?
Yeah, I think I did okay. I think I could do better. Did okay given all the other constraints we've had.
Again, I'm not saying you did bad or good. I'm just saying this is the framework of how to improve your next year.
Yeah.
All right, SWOT. We're going to do this really quickly and then wrap up this.
I don't want to do this.
This podcast. Yes, no, we are. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats.
I feel like you do a SWOT analysis on the business, but how do you do it on yourself?
What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses?
Well, okay, those.
What opportunities do you have in your life? And what threats are you to yourself? Like a threat to me is like attention is all over the place. So I'm anti-focus. So that's a threat. I need to be more focused.
Okay. I think we talked about this a little bit already.
Yes, but it's like the end of the episode. Now's the chance to summarize strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats.
Okay. So summarizing everything, within a minute, everything that we've talked about, my strengths from this year.
No. Oh. Not even this year. Strengths going into next year. For next year, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses?
Okay. For next year, I will continue what I think I did well this year, which was having the awareness that there are seasons to life and that I have to give myself grace. I maintain high standards, but the journey will look different to achieving certain things. But I should not let go of the things that I believe are part of what make me feel complete. So I will continue to do that. Now, like you said, a weakness is that I tend to sometimes deprioritize some of those things that I believe make me complete, that I know bring me joy, because I place other priorities above them. And I think I could do a better job of holistically rebalancing some of that and having a better sense for when some of those activities or things I enjoy doing slip down. Opportunity is, I think, like you said, carving out more time to be spontaneous, connecting more with people. I think this year I've done a lot of, I've kind of reclused. Rightfully so. I feel like that's what I wanted to do as a mom and be with you guys and have my family here. But I do think there's an opportunity for me to put myself out there a little bit more with people and friends and everything. And then the threat is probably what I talked about, doubt, having doubt and not making decisions with confidence. I do make some. I make a lot of decisions with confidence, but there is this wavering thing about me sometimes where I contemplate and contemplate and contemplate and therefore don't take action soon enough.
So your actual threat is contemplation.
Okay.
Awesome. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Strengths are moving fast and breaking things. So I need to apply that against my weakness, which is not being able to focus. So I need to be very clear, which we've been working on, and I'm proud of myself for getting clear on what's my target with the different things that I'm working on. And then what I need to do is move fast and break things. I need to move faster on the things that I should be working on to move my needle forward rather than just spraying and praying.
So are you saying that you can't focus because you're not focusing on the right things. Why do you think you can't focus?
No, it wasn't necessarily focusing on the right things. It's just like naturally as a human being, I operate in do something for an hour, go do something else for an hour, go do something else That's for fine. An hour. But what it needs to what needs to happen is I need to basically say one day is dedicated to this thing that's going to move the whole ship in the right direction. Then the next day is dedicated to this thing that's going to continue to move the ship in the right direction rather than having three ships. It's like everything is all on board one ship. So if it's my podcast and my YouTube and my coaching program, they all need to funnel together to help each other grow rather than like growing individually. So the focus is what's the ultimate goal here, and then how do I align the different pieces to help each other? And that takes what my strength is, which is like moving fast. Like when you're starting projects and you're in this type of world, you want to move fast and not contemplate on decisions because you need to iterate, find your target, release a new product, release a new offer. And then as soon as you get the one that starts to work, triple down on it. Opportunities in my life, now that I am a father, I think there's a lot of opportunity to help other men in their mid-20s become the person that they want to become, to find a significant other that they one day want to build a family with. And they want to be a provider, a protector, and they want to feel good about themselves every single day in their mind and their body. And I think I've had a lot of struggles over my life that relate to a lot of other people out there, and I can be of service to them to help them build a life that they're proud of and essentially go from just surviving to thriving. Threats outside of the focus. Threats to me is just saying yes to too many things. And those two kind of go hand in hand, but it's being more stern on, and something that I heard on a podcast I'm going to utilize. It's as soon as you get asked to do something, don't say yes or no, say I'll get back to you. So that's one tactic that I'm using more frequently to basically sleep on things more. And you've seen that this year a little bit with me, a lot more than in the past. I'm sleeping on things a lot more. I'm pushing back, but I need to amplify that even more. So going into next year and really focus on what, like I just said, where my strengths are pointing the ship all in the right direction. And if other opportunities help that ship, that's a yes, but most of them are not going to help. So anything else before we wrap this up?
No, thanks for having me.
Awesome. If you found value in this podcast and you believe somebody else out there could find it valuable too, please share it with them. That's what helps this podcast grow. Also, give us that 5-star rating and review. I hope all of you have a wonderful end to your 2023. I highly recommend you grab a friend or family member and do a run through of strengths, weaknesses, do a little SWOT analysis on your life, and let's kick some ass in 2024. Till next time, this is CJ Finley with the Thrive On Life podcast. Thrive on, y'all.
What's up, y'all? This is CJ again, and on behalf of the small team here at Thrive On Life, I'd like to thank you for listening to one of our episodes. Our mission in life is to help people like you fuel your passion and make every heartbeat count. And we realize the best way to do this is together as a team. So we'd love for you to join in on this mission and connect with like-minded individuals within our Thrive On Life community. To do so, please head to thriveonlife.com and connect with us there. We'd love to chat with you. Before I sign off, I'd like you to always remember one thing. When we strive together, we thrive together. So please do your part in helping others thrive on life.